Last month we talked all about greatness, discovering greatness. We are still following in the same path, but today we are starting a series in a new dimension. And it's still in the same line, but I want to caption this as commitment, a road to significance. Commitment, a road to significance. This month of February is the month of commitment for Wisdom Assembly. And the reason why, January was a month of vision, because I believe you and I need to be encouraged to commit ourselves to the decisions we made at the beginning of the year, to commit ourselves to the dreams and the purposes of God concerning our lives, so that our story this year will not be like the story of last year or years before, so that the stories we will tell this year will be new stories, new and higher level stories. And I pray that God will give you a new story this month. I say God will give you a new story this month in the name of Jesus. You know, one thing with us people is that if somebody curses you, immediately you react. But somebody is blessing you, you are not reacting. And I don't wonder why. I said this month, God will give you a new story. God will give you a great story. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In saying that alone, my 2 minutes has gone. God have mercy. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. The Bible says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. I pray that in this race of life, you will not be disqualified. In Jesus' mighty name. So if you do not examine yourself, if you do not see yourself as on God's side, I'm trying to say, if you refuse to examine yourself and test yourself, life will test you. Circumstances will test you. Situations of life will expose you. I found out in this Christian journey and in life generally, nothing tangible happens until there is a commitment. Praise the Lord. What does commitment mean? Commitment is a word that a lot of people don't like. There are people who don't want to commit to anything. They don't want to commit to anybody. They don't want to commit to God, commit to the church. They don't want to commit to a job, and so on and so forth. Commitment means to pledge and bind yourself to something or someone or both. If we look in the east of the world, we understand levels of commitment. A lot of bad people are committed to doing evil. They are committed to blowing themselves. They are so committed to it that they are ready to blow themselves up. In a country like North Korea, for example, the government makes sure that their citizens are committed to the ideologies of their leader. They see their leader as a god, and they are committed to it. They are ready to die for him. In America, we live in the land of the brave, the land of the free. We hang the flag of the nation, the star-spangled banner, we hang it by our garage door. But our commitment to the nation is questionable. Not to talk of our commitment to God, our commitment to the instructions of God. Commitment means doing the right thing even though it is hard. Doing the right thing even though it is hard. Commitment means doing the right thing even if everybody is doing the wrong thing. And greatness demands total commitment, not half-hearted commitment. Let me explain something here. If you have not internalized the Word of God, you are just present in church. You are not a person of faith. If you have not received the Word, when you say you internalize it, the Word becomes part of you. The Bible talks about receiving the engrafted Word. The Word that is grafted in, into your heart. When the Word is received in grafted form, then the promise of God begins to do what? Place a demand on you. The food we eat and digest is what makes us grow physically. The saying goes, you are what you eat. The same thing it is spiritually. If you've been in church all these years and your life has not changed, your thought pattern has not changed, you have no morale, then there's something wrong. If you say you are a Christian and you are detaching yourself from the principles and the guidance of the Word of God, there's a problem. I've said it before. If you look at the Muslims, for example, their religion is their lifestyle. They live it. It's in their dressing. It's in the way they pray. It's in the way they go anywhere they go. It's in the way they do anything they do. If you are Christ, then let your lifestyle show it. One thing the internalized Word does is that it recreates you to become. Because the Word of God has a power, the Word of God is committed to transform. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, as many as received Him, if you are receiving food, and you are bringing it out again, you can't grow. They will say you are anemic. But when you receive it, it begins to show in you. It says, as many as receiving to them, He gave the right, the power to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. And John 1:14 says, and the Word became, that's the word again, becoming. The Word always become. The Word you receive always becomes something in you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who have you become since you've been receiving the Word of God? Has your language changed? Has your thought pattern changed? The places you go, have they changed? The friends you hang out with, have they changed? Your discussions, have they changed? Abraham had that instruction from God. The instruction attached to a promise in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. I won't bother to read it now. And God says, I will make you great. Come, follow me. I will make you great. I will make your name great.
It says you will be a blessing. And Abraham internalized it. He accepted it. He believed it.
Like we said last week, immediately he followed God. Abraham committed himself to God. From a life of idolatry, he committed himself to following God. That was why Abraham was not hung up on ancestral spirit. If you are committed to Christ, you have a new ancestry.
Abraham knew that he couldn't serve two masters and be great. He was ready to reverence God. He was ready to serve God than to fear man.
You can't serve God and be afraid of man. Then there's a question mark on which God you are serving.
From that time on, like scripture said, that look unto your father Abraham. We are looking unto him again. He gave himself wholeheartedly to God. Despite not having that one major thing that he wanted. In spite of the fact that he didn't have a child. A child was the most important thing that Abraham wanted. He didn't have it, but he followed God. He followed on a promise. Because he knew when God speaks, God is committed to whatever he says. And if you and I will truly know how much you mean to God, if you know how much you mean to God and how much he loves you, how much God is committed to your well-being, your level of commitment to him, to his word, will no longer be on the surface. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come," when he was teaching disciples how to pray. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." So Jesus is saying that die to yourself and follow God. Die to yourself. Your kingdom come, your will be done means my idea is dead, my opinion matters nothing. And that's one of the things we struggle with. We can't be committed because we still have an opinion that we think is better than the promise of God. If I ask everybody here, how many of us wants to be blessed? Everybody likes to see the hand of God on their life, isn't it? But not everybody is willing to commit to God. Not everybody is willing to commit to the ways of God. I was sharing with our assistant pastor, Minister Dickwood, the other day. There are certain prayers God will not answer. And one of them is this. You can't pray for greatness. "Oh Lord, make me great." And lock yourself up in the room. Fast 50 days. "Oh Lord." You see, even this issue of fasting has made a lot of Christians lazy. You know what I mean? What I mean is, because you are fasting, you have dumped everything on God. God is responsible for everything. You lie. You lie. You lie. Don't use fasting as a reason why you are not committed to your job. Don't use fasting as a reason why you are not committed to doing your work well. Greatness is not something you pray for. It's a revelation you walk on. I want to say that again. Greatness is not a prayer or something you pray for. It's a revelation you walk on. Because when Abraham heard about greatness, he didn't ask for it. It was God who told him, "I will make you great." And Abraham said, "Oh, okay,
I'll work on it. I'll commit to you. Anywhere you say I should go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Did he slip up sometimes? He did, but he rose up again. Praise the Lord. Greatness is not found in prayer. It is in your commitment to God's instructions, to your purpose, to your potential. The day Abraham sidestepped God, Abraham going down to Egypt did not annoy God much. Abraham lying to Abimelech did not annoy God much. But the day Abraham slept with Hagar, it was like, hey, you want to cancel out the promise? You want to destroy the covenant I made with you? For 13 years, God just withdrew from him. But you know why God had to come back to him? I was meditating on this. I'm like, okay, God, Adam and Eve, you drove them away. But Abraham, you came back to him. Why? And I could hear God saying to me in my spirit, man, that because I made a covenant with him. Abraham was not the one who made a covenant with God. It was God who made a covenant with him. And God cannot lie. He has already vowed himself. He didn't make any covenant with Adam and Eve. He made a covenant. He told Abraham, let's slay these animals, put them there, and I will come. Abraham waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. Vultures will come. He will drive them away until he slept. Darkness fell. And God now came. Abraham was sleeping when God came. Hallelujah. He didn't partake of it. Praise the Lord. He just followed the instruction. Slay this animal, slay that, lay them down, open them here, this and that. And God just came, walked in the midst of it. When Abraham woke up, he saw a flicker of light over there somewhere. And God began to speak to him about generations to come. God knew he couldn't take back his word. So he had to return to him. There's a covenant we have in Christ Jesus that validates God's covenant with you and I. That's why he says, I can never leave you nor forsake you. It's not because of your faithfulness. It's not because of my faithfulness. It's because of what he said. Did he not say to David that I vow to you there will always be somebody on your throne? God cannot lie. Hallelujah. And guess what? When Abraham sidestepped God and he had Ishmael, one thing about Abraham did not change. The only thing that changed with him was God was not speaking to him. But his gold and silver did not diminish. I'm going somewhere with this. His cattle did not diminish. All the animals he had did not diminish. His big ranch did not diminish. Suddenly, all his animals did not start dying. You know why? Greatness is not found in those things. Greatness is not found in how much money you have. God is not found in your money. God is not found in the substance you have. Praise the Lord. God is found in your heart, in your obedience, in your decision to say, Lord, I will follow you. Is somebody listening to me tonight, this morning? Until God extended his grace, Abraham was on his own. He was living like an ordinary man, even though the covenant was hanging over his life. There is a promise of God hanging over your life this year. The promise of greatness, the promise of victory is hanging over your life. Don't sidestep God. One thing Abraham did was when he sidestepped him, he had to rise again. Guess what? The standard God set, it didn't change. Abraham had to rise up to that standard. And God said, Ishmael, send him away. When Sarai, who told him to do it, now said, I don't want him anymore. That's another preaching for another day. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Is somebody getting something? Hallelujah. Then I began to study This Abraham again. And I found out that throughout his relationship with God, or throughout God's relationship with Abraham, God kept on instructing him, and then God kept on promising him, and then God made him wait. That was a question mark in my mind. You promised, you instructed, he fulfilled the instruction, you made a promise, and then you instruct him again. He fulfilled the instruction, and you made the promise again, and you made him wait 24 years. Nobody likes waiting. Hallelujah. Nobody likes waiting. I was in T-Mobile the other day, and they were attending to people there. It was like they were taking 100 years. My time was like, oh my, I was just like, I won't lie to you. I had an attitude by myself on my own there. What does this person want that you can't do the thing and let him go? Waiting is not easy. Abraham waited. The waiting tested Abraham's commitment. Waiting tests your commitment. Did somebody hear me? Waiting tests your maturity. Waiting tests your commitment to God, to the will of God. Many people can't wait on the promise that God gave them. And then you can't receive the blessing that God promises. God tested Abraham's commitment a few times. And think about it. Then he gave him one of the greatest tests anybody could go through. When eventually Isaac came, great party. The one we've been waiting for is here. Suddenly, after a few years, the Lord said, I need that one. What? What I've waited on you for? But Abraham did not fail that test. He did not fail the commitment test. He was still committed to God, regardless of what he had and what he did not have. Even though when the promise was delivered, he was still committed more to God than he was committed to the promise. Oh, Lord. I thought I was speaking to a church here. Abraham was more committed to God more than he was committed to the manifestation of the promise. How did I know? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, by faith, when he was tested, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He gave him up. And he who received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in your seed shall, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Concluding that, this was Abraham's conclusion. This was his commitment to God. He trusted God to that point that he knew God was committed to him. He did what? Concluding that God was what? Able. That even if I kill him for you, you will still raise him up. Because you don't fail in your word. Hallelujah. So, if what you want from God is more important than God in your life, you have failed the commitment test. And I see it in church. What you have been believing God, believe, suddenly it happened. You disappear. It's like the blessing you bless me with is what is not making me come to seek you anymore. Now I have what I want. That kind of a person is a user. Nobody likes a user. They get close to you because of what they can get. The moment they get it, they are gone. Would you like to relate with somebody like that? So we can't be like that with God. We can't. We can't be like that with Him. Amen? Greatness will elude you if you are a person that gives up when things get tough. When the going gets tough, suddenly you give up. You find another way. You look for another help, which is not in God. That's why you see some people, they are looking for men of God to bless them. They are restless, looking for men of God. Go here, go there. They will spend this there, they will spend that there, and yet they are never fulfilled. Because they can't be committed. Men that can't be committed in their marriages. Women that can't be committed to their husbands. There are parents who are not committed to their children. As long as the children are doing well, yay, my child. My wife and I, we used to joke with that. When the children become naughty, look at the children you gave birth to. Isn't that what the father always say? Look at they are the children you gave birth to. But when they are doing well, you see, he takes after my father's house. Praise the Lord. God always, I've never seen it where God did not reward the faithful. I've never seen it where God did not reward the committed. God is not asking us to be committed for a little while. It's for the long haul. Amen? It's for what? The long haul. I read about one of the few good emperors of Rome, Marcus Aurelius. He said something that I wrote down in my note. He said, if something is possible for one person, it is possible for another. If Abraham can do it, you and I have the capacity to do it. Praise the Lord. If Abraham can receive it, you and I can have the capacity to receive it. If Abraham can wait, you and I have the capacity to wait and to wait on God. The Bible says those who wait on God, they renew their strength. What's my business this morning? My business is to encourage you. Encourage you not to give up on God. Encourage you not to give up on what you are believing God for. Encourage you not to give up on the promises that God has made you. The promises that are written on the tablets of your heart. There's a potential that God has deposited in you. It's your commitment to that potential that will make your life meaningful. Is somebody listening to me? Hallelujah. Maybe you have a turbulent situation at home and you are feeling like I'm going to give up. No, don't give up. Stay committed. God will make a way for you. I say God will make a way for you. Maybe that man is not acting the way he has changed suddenly. He's become so violent and volatile. I'm not saying let him beat you to death. But don't give up on him. Stay in the place of prayer for him. Stay in the place of prayer for yourself. Let me tell you something. Divorce is not easy. Are you listening to me? Divorce is not easy. It's not easy. It's a painful process. It has damaged many people. It has killed a lot of people's esteem. It has damaged many children. but for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Maybe you have a child that stretches you. You know how children can stretch your imagination? You know, it's like they are walking, marching on your nerves. Don't give up on them. Maybe that child is not doing so well in school that you concluded that child is a dullard. One of the mistakes we make in life is we put value on our children because they pass an exam, thinking their value is in the exam. No, their value is not in the exam. Praise the Lord. They carry greater stuff than the exam. Oh, yeah. You are not listening to me. Our children, they carry bigger things. At the end of the day, look at you. You passed exam. You graduated. What did you get? It's a job. J-O-B. All your exam that you passed. What did you get? Job. Bill Gates did not pass exam. I'm not saying don't read, though, children. I'm not saying don't study. Information, knowledge is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe at work you feel, oh, they don't value me enough. So you decide to start giving less of yourself. Instead of working, you're on the computer at work. That's not commitment. Commit to the job you are employed for. That's what is destroying Nigeria today. That's why you come to an office, somebody is asking, waiting for you to bribe them before they do their job. Praise the Lord. Commitment does not take the easy way out. Hallelujah. My time is spent. I'm going to continue this next week. Amen. I want us to rise up. I want you to make this declaration. When you look at yourself, there is more to you than your parents know. There is more to you than your husband knows. There is more to you than your wife knows. If you are not true to yourself, nobody is going to be true to you. Nobody is going to be you for you. I want you to make this commitment declaration. This is the beginning of this series. Make this commitment declaration. Like we pledge allegiance to the flag. We pledge allegiance in our marriage, for better, for worse, until death do us part. Say with me, Father God. Come on, say it like you mean it, Father God. You are my Lord. You are my God. I know from your word that a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart is a sacrifice. Oh God, you will not despise. I come before you today to offer myself, all of me, my spirit, soul, and body, all that I have, all that I am, they are yours, oh Lord. I confess, Lord Jesus, that I am a sinner. I have sinned. I have refused to be committed. But today, I change my mind and I seek your forgiveness from all my sins. The sins that I have been committed to, I turn my back to those sins today. The weaknesses that I have been committed to, I repent today with your help, oh God. By your grace, oh God, I choose to turn away. I choose to proceed in your direction, in your will, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I forgive all those who have offended me. I forgive all those who have misused me. I forgive all those who have spoken evil against me. Father, someone say, Father, I bring myself before you today. Break me, mold me, reshape me into the image that you desire of me. I receive grace. I receive grace to be committed,
to be committed. Committed to your way. Committed to your will. Committed to your word. I receive grace to be committed where you have planted me, at my job, in my family. I receive the grace to be committed to the church where you have planted me, to be committed in honoring your word, in glorifying your name with myself and my substance and my family. Receive me, O Lord. Grant me the grace to be a better version of myself. In the name of Jesus, everywhere I have fallen short, raise me up today. Raise me up today. Raise me up today. And I declare to you, Jehovah, that I trust you. I trust you, my God. I trust you, my King. I trust you, my Redeemer. Thank you, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing will erase it from there. In the mighty name of Jesus, from here on, I go higher because I am committed to walk in integrity. I am committed to walk in the light. I am committed to walk in the truth. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, shout a good amen. Come on, if you believe it and you know you have been blessed, give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a rewarder. He will reward you. You will not miss your reward. I say you will not miss your reward. As you have made the decision to be committed to Him, you will not miss your reward. No matter how long it has taken, you will not miss your reward. It will not be behind you. It will not be after you have led this side of eternity. No, in your very presence, while you are alive, God will bring them to fruition. If somebody believes that, say good amen. Hallelujah. Amen.